Lisa Show. We are here to coach you to your success, to coach you to your purpose, your passion, and your destiny. Tune in each week, Monday through Friday morning, for a lesson, a tool, or a tip or strategy on how to dig deep past all the things that are hiding the true you. Find out not only who you are, but exactly what you ought to be doing in your life, where you should be going, and how you should be getting there. Well, I am Lalisa J. Williams, your coach, and I am honored and grateful to be here to assist you. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and enjoy the show. You can contact Coach Lalisa after the show via the internet. You can visit the website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, or for a free coaching session just for you, go to www.mylifecompass.com/Lalisa Williams. Now I want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes. We got activities lined up for you. Get ready to go to another level in your life. And don't forget, invite a friend tomorrow. The show is going to be awesome. And now, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Well, that is absolutely so right. We cannot let anything hold us back. We cannot stop. We cannot let anything stop us. And I tell you, there are just so many, you know, times where in my life I wanted to let things hold me back. But you know what? Now I'm in another place. I'm not letting negative people hold me back. I'm not letting negative things hold me back. I'm pushing onward, upward, and forward. And you must do the same. You must do the same. If you really want to live your life on purpose, if you really want to live this awesome, awesome life that you can have, I tell you, you can have the life that you want. So good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coach Lalisa Show today. We have an incredible part two topic today, part two from yesterday. This is carried over. We thought that it was going to be a one-day show. We thought that we could get the show done in 1 hour. You know, the Coach Lalisa Show is here Monday through Friday. It is a one-hour show Monday through Friday. On Wednesdays, we have author, publisher, Versi L. Walker, to come to the show every Wednesday. He is our special host and co-host, and he does the show pretty much outside of the announcements and other information that I give out to start the show, and then Mr. Walker takes it away. But we thought we could get this topic done in one segment, but actually the segment, first of all, was elongated and went for about 2 hours. Yes, you got it. 2 hours the segment lasted yesterday. So if you didn't get a chance to hear yesterday's show, go back and listen to the archives. You can find it on the page, or you can find it right there on the archive, on the show page, or you can go to my website, www.lalisajwilliams.com, and you can also find the archives of this show right there on the website, and there are other ways to listen to the show. I'm telling you, it has been incredible, incredible, incredible talking about bullying in the workplace. Here's a phenomenon that isn't new, but it is spreading. It is spreading. And we're going to talk some more about what it looks like in the workplace so that you can guard yourself. If you are a victim of being bullied, we're going to tell you what it looks like. And I have an expert who happened to call in yesterday, but it was so timely and so perfect She is back with us today. Miss Lisa is back with us. Good morning, Lisa, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Coach LaLisa, and to your listeners. It's a pleasure to be here this morning.
Oh, I tell you, it was surely our pleasure, and we were so happy that you joined us yesterday. Also want to say good morning to those of you who are listening via the switchboard, or if you're listening via iTunes or the other various ways. There's about 12 different ways a person can listen to a Blog Talk Radio show, so we're very excited about that. We want to say good morning to all those in the chat room. Good morning, good morning, Ms. Patricia Martin. Good morning and welcome again. Okay, great, great, great. I love that. I'm just reading a message from Pat. And please, if you all in the chat room, if you have a question about this topic or if you have a comment, please make it. And good morning to my Japanese connection all the way from Tokyo, Japan, Mr. Paul Karazi. And if you'd like to learn more about how interesting this person is, Mr. Paul Karazi, you can definitely listen to the Friday's archive. That was just tremendous. And you can also go to his website, paulkarazi.com. And that's K-Y-R-I-A-Z-I, just like it sounds, Paul Karazi. Now, he is a phenomenal. He has a teaching and empowerment teaching as well that has a really, really, really nice twist to it and deals with James Bond. So that's all I can tell you for now. But you'll have to go and look the rest up. All I know is myself and Patricia, we're Bond girls. So you got to go look that up. But I can tell you that a Bond girl has three key characteristics. You may figure out that you're a Bond girl too. A Bond girl has three key characteristics. She is. Now you may want to write these down because you don't want to forget. She's intelligent. She is hardworking. I just threw that one in. But no, she is intelligent. She is independent. And she is, oh my goodness, what's the third one, Paul? I can't remember. She's independent. She's intelligent. And she is, how am I going to be a Bond girl? And I can't even remember. Okay, Pat, somebody help me out in the chat room there. They will type it in. But I should remember that. So, yes, you may decide that you are, too, a Bond girl. She's intelligent. She's independent. And I want to say self-confident, but I don't think that's the word I'm looking for. So Paul will correct me on that in a minute since he created this Bond girl, so to speak. But, yes, thank you, Paul. Thank you, thank you, thank you. She is a businesswoman. Well, I did say hardworking, so that was close. But she is a businesswoman. How about that, Lisa?
Yeah, I know that one. I'm joining you.
Isn't that something? A Bond girl. We are Bond girls, let me tell you. And Pat says, yes, I am. She says, I am intelligent, I am independent, and a businesswoman. Yes. And so when I told my sister I was a Bond girl, she says, huh? A Bond girl? What are you talking about? I says, well, let me tell you the characteristics of a Bond girl. And once I told her, then she got it. Oh, good morning, good morning. I also want to give a shout-out to a playwright and friend of mine, Miss Valerie Fully Love. She is definitely, definitely living a purpose-filled life, she said. And she said God has opened so many doors for her. So she just popped up on my Facebook page. So Miss Valerie Fully Love, if you want to check her out, Fully Love, just the way it sounds. She wrote a play called When Doves Cry. No, When Doves Fly. I always mix it up, but once you get to know me, you'll say, well, she mixes up a lot of things. But there are a few things I do get straight. But when things like that are so close, it's probably why I didn't do so well in school back in the day. But anyway, I got through it, and I finally did go back to college and end up graduating several times, though I didn't graduate high school. So I thought I would. I always like to overdo things anyway, right? So when I dropped out of high school, and it after it sat in for a while, and when I was around 33, I decided to go back to college, and then I felt guilty within myself. I was like, wow, you know, I robbed my mother of going to a high school graduation with her daughter, right? And I said, how horrible was I to do that? You know, because once I got older and I got to see, you know, watching children grow up, and you kind of watch them, you know, through kindergarten, first grade, second, you know, in every grade, you know, you're waiting for them to get to the next grade and to finish that grade. And so ultimately you want to see them graduate high school. I mean, that's the result of having gone all those years. And I thought, wow, I robbed my mother of that experience of going to her child's graduation. And then it was a trickle-down effect because then, you know, the rest of the children under me, and I was the third oldest of seven, they also dropped out of high school except for one. So I thought, how horrible. I felt so guilty. So I went back to school at 33, and I said, you know what, I'll never drop out again, ever. And I went back and got 3 degrees, like back to back to back. And my mother came to every graduation, and I felt somewhat vindicated. I felt a little better. And then I felt really better when those other siblings under me also went back and got 2 or 3 degrees themselves. And so I was so, so happy. Not that they went back as a result of me going, because three of us enrolled at the same exact time, and one had already attempted college prior to that and did maybe a year. But I did feel a little bit better, at least. But so, yes, Miss Valerie has doors being opened for her. God is blessing her. Also, before we get into this awesome topic this morning, finishing up part two, talking about bullying in the workplace, what can you do to protect yourself? How can you go to work, keep your health going? Because this is a real health problem. That's why it's becoming a phenomenon. That's why people like Lisa, who have now handled cases of individuals who are victims, she's also dealt with the victor, the person, not the victor, but the, yes, the victor, the person who is actually doing the abusing. It's becoming such a phenomenon because it is, again, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, it is causing your company money in the way of absenteeism, and when there's high turnover as a result of a bully. Now, it's one thing if people are leaving the company because they don't like the policies or the rules or the regulations, or when people leave because the salary is too low and they cannot sustain their way of living. Yes, that's different. But when people are leaving due to a bully, so we're going to talk about, because I know some people, the question, and I know we talked a little bit about this yesterday, Lisa, why some people, why some companies keep the bully. Why, what is going on with that? And good morning, At Home Biz Radio. Good morning, welcome, and we'll also welcome Kiva. Okay, so a great way to start the day, letting nothing stop us. Pat put that in the chat room. But bullying in the workplace, and where else has bullying spilled over? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Also this morning, hey, go Kiva. She says she's also a Bond girl. Yes, you're intelligent, you're a businesswoman, and you're independent. Thank you. I think we're going to have to get us some T-shirts that say, I'm a Bond girl. And then on the back, it'll say, I'm intelligent, I'm independent, and I'm a businesswoman. So definitely, Paul, we got to talk about that. So, you know, and then this Friday, if you still don't have your ticket to the Sister to Sister extravaganza, please call me. I still have a couple of tickets left. I want you there. I will be the MC. It is taking place in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Please, please, please come out to support this organization of women working together, empowering each other, entrepreneurs, social networking, and networking, business networking, and social networking at its highest. I'm telling you, the networking is phenomenal. You won't believe it. You got to come right here in Kenilworth, New Jersey, at the Kenilworth VFW. Please call me for the tickets. The tickets are only $25. And what you're going to get for that $25, the knowledge alone is worth, I can't even put a dollar amount to it, but it's 25 to the hundredth, you know, power. It is the knowledge alone that you're going to leave that place with is, trust me, you will wonder why the price was so low. $25, that's a drop in the bucket when you're coming out to get knowledge that can change your life forever, your children's lives, your grandchildren, your great children that aren't even born yet, generations that you have not even yet thought about. You've got to come out this Friday, the 21st. It's going to be awesome. And for those of you who love great, just, you know, old-fashioned preaching, that's clear that you can hear, I will be preaching this Sunday for their Women's Day at St. Mark United Methodist Church, and that's in Montclair, New Jersey. Again, you can inbox me on Facebook. I will give you all the details, but that is also happening. But anyway, great, great stuff. Now, I had to overcome bullying in the workplace myself, and Lisa had mentioned that she had also had to do this. So we're welcome to the show. If it's your first time tuning in, we welcome you. We have Lisa from Compton, California, on the line with us this morning to talk about this phenomenon in the workplace, bullying in the workplace. Now, let me just, a couple more things I want to do, Lisa, before I bring you on and introduce you again to everyone. I want to tell you a couple of things about this problem and what the experts are saying about it. Well, number one, the reason why companies are about to crack down on this, they're going to not have a choice, because what happens is, as lives are lost, typically it takes the loss of life before society to move against something. As long as there's a few people being heard and, you know, it's a little bit of that, okay, if there's a little death here and there, but when it becomes widespread, that's when they take serious action. Now, it is against the law. And it falls right now under the laws of sexual harassment, okay? Because what happens is when you create a hostile work environment, and now it's one thing for people to, you know, roll their eyes at you and all of that. You may not be able to claim that as bullying in the workplace. But if it drives you to the hospital, if it drives you to go get medicine, and somebody's you're going to be in trouble. But again, like Lisa, who is a national EEOC representative, like she said, everything must be documented. So you must document the treatment, how it starts. You know, keep like a, go buy yourself a yellow pad, a notebook of some sort. Document it, document, document. But now when you document, let me just give you a little piece of advice, because some of you know that my background is human resources. But this is what you don't want to do. You don't want to leave that that pad in your desk at work. It will disappear. I can guarantee you that. So trust me. My mother, who, like I shared with you yesterday, my mother worked for the EEOC for over 15 years when she worked for the Internal Revenue Service. And the only reason I can say that now, because she has passed away, and her job is not in jeopardy in any kind of way. Plus, she already retired. But here's the thing. She told us, her five daughters and her two sons, and as we began to work, she told us what to do about management. She told us what to do about coworkers. So I have to thank God that I went into the workplace. I was usually the hot mess, but I went into the workplace kind of understanding some ways to maneuver, things like that. But here's what she said. Keep that pad, that notebook at home. Do not document at work, because what do you think is going to happen? Now, you have to document some things at work because you need to document it right away when it happens. But what do you think is going to happen when somebody sees you there with a pad and you're writing? They're going to go get that pad. So document at home, and here's another thing that you could do too. There's so many tips I could give you, but I'm not going to give you right now. for the essence of time. But one thing I will share, because today you have these little digital recorders. Now, I'm not saying record anyone, but you can record yourself. That may save you time as right, you know, rather than write. And most people have recordings even on their cell phones now. So you could, sometimes you could speak it a lot faster than you could write it. Then when you go home, you can then write it down. So just a little tips like that. So anyway, so again, you know, a little rudeness here and there, you know, may not hurt. However, if it endangers your health, now that's when it is now falling on the side of bullying in the workplace. And so there's a lot of information out there. We shared that yesterday. You may want to go back and listen to that episode. Now, okay, don't try to figure out, this one research report I was reading says, you know, don't try to figure out to the minuteness of why a person is bullying unless you're a psychoanalyst or a psychologist. But what you do need to know is that it could be from their childhood. They could have just had a lousy childhood. It could be some kind of genetics, and it could just be evolution. They started out being a little aggressive, and then they got more aggressive, and then they got worse over time. But, you know, you don't try to figure out, because some of these people are, quote-unquote, soccer moms and deacons. Can't tell who's a bully and who's not. They're normal, everyday people, just like you and me. And again, if you are a bully and you're listening to the show and you've tuned in because you really want help, I certainly applaud you. And there is help for you. Also, don't waste time, you know, trying to figure out what motivates the bully. All right? Don't waste time doing that. But here are, this one website gives out a three-part recipe of for bullying and why it's happening in the workplace, because you may wonder, why is that happening? Here's some reasons why. Well, for one, the employer, and then we'll get Lisa's perspective on all of this after I throw this information out there. For one, the employer creates a cutthroat competitive opportunities. See, we talked about that a little bit yesterday. Well, the research is backing it up. Employers have created this cutthroat. Well, sometimes because of the competition, everybody trying to get ahead, everybody trying to get to the top. That's why after working with my coach, Dee Marshall, and some other people, I began to say, no, we're not just trying to get to the top, because everybody knows that the top represents this mountain, this kind of thing, and at the top there's a peak, and at the peak, as you go up the mountain, it gets smaller and smaller. So that's suggesting that there's only room for, like, one person. So to have the mindset of getting to the top already sets you up for tearing down others, because how are you going to be the only one up there? So I immediately adopted the language over the top. So beyond that, where it's endless, limitless room, therefore I don't have to cut anyone out of anything. I don't have to try to hold anyone back. I don't have to shine brighter than anyone, because we're going over the top. We're not just going to the top. So when you hear me say that, you might think, oh, is she kind of messing up that phrase? No, I'm not messing up that phrase. I am purposely not saying to the top. I'll see you at the top. No, we'll see you over the top, okay? Or beyond the top, however you want to look at it. All right. Also, this competitiveness and this what it does in the workplace is force people to fight for what they consider these sacred resources, okay? And that is one of the reasons. Another reason is that folks will have a tendency to exploit and manipulate others so that they can capitalize on those opportunities. That's what some people do. And then some people are just hyper-aggressive. They want to win all the rewards. They want to get all the goodies, and they love it when they see other people lose. So over time, you know, bullying becomes prone in the workplace. Sometimes we see that some people have different, they come from other jobs, other companies, and they may bring that into your company. Now, some people say, well, why does the management side with the bully? We talked about some things yesterday, but one of the reasons it says is because HR, believe it or not, human resources, they work for management. That's why sometimes you'll see companies go out and get a union to work for the people. But human resources works for management. And a lot of times they will coach these bullies or these managers. My mother talked about it all the time on how to document this, these people, document the worker's behavior, what the worker is not doing, writing people up and things of that nature. The bully boss also gives a great support to the bully. The bully's boss gives great support to the bully, probably because they're the ones who hired the bully. Hello? And we talked about that yesterday. If the boss hired the bully, our HR is the one who picked that person out of 30-something people or, you know, however many people that came for the interview, and HR hired that person. Now, they're not going to, it's like, now I'm going back on my word. I said this person was great, brought them into the company. Now I'm going to come against them. It doesn't go with your psyche. That would be like a cognitive dissonance. So, no, you believe the person was great, and that's how you see the person. And it's hard for you to believe that this is happening. It says another reason for that is if a person that's being bullied lets a long period of time go by, a year or two before they say anything, or anybody says anything, if people just up and quit and they don't say in their exit interview why they left, the bully has gotten away scot-free and they're allowed to continue. And so, anyway, those are just some things I wanted to share with you. And now we will get some perspectives from you for the next 30 minutes. Again, welcome, Got Motivation and Info Rhythm. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Okay, they heard to come shake up these culprits down in our workplace. Well, you tell us where your workplace is, and we'll be glad to come. The union dates the bullies in our workplace. What do we do? Okay, the union. Uh-huh, that's right. Of course the union dates the bully. That's, you're absolutely right. I think we were talking a little bit about this yesterday. Thank you, InfoRhythms in the chat room there. Is that management and the union are in bed most of the time. Yeah, because a lot of times union reps, now this is, you know, again, I do teach business, and so I do have some textbook knowledge on unions, and then I also, my degree is in human resources. My MBA is human resources, and then I worked in HR in a very, very, very large company, and now I work in training. And so I work closely with HR, even in my current job. But here's the problem. What I've seen, just personally, my personal viewpoint, with some, and again, you may not agree, but with some union people, they're almost management wannabes. In other words, some union reps wanted management positions. For whatever reason, maybe they didn't get them. I don't know. However, when a union comes or if the union is there, they will take that role because then that's their, you know, foothold into management. So they already want to be there anyway. They want to be like management anyway. So a lot of times they get a skewed view of how they should be performing their role as a union rep. So and they may not have been properly trained on how to be a union personnel. And that's a big, big problem, and that's a whole nother problem. So, Lisa, what do you think about all of this?
Okay, let me start by saying good morning. Info Rhythms, that's my crew. I allowed them to sign in under my name so they could play this at work because I'm not there.
Well, let me give them a proper, hold it, let me give them a proper welcome. Welcome to the crew from Compton InfoRhythms. Awesome. Oh, I'm so glad that you tuned in. So I just wanted to give you a proper, proper, proper welcome because Lisa did say she was going to tell her crew to tune in. So we thank you and God bless you. Go ahead, Lisa.
Okay. When you made the comment about the bullies sleeping with our managers, I know exactly, I mean, our union sleeping with, yeah, the bully. I know exactly what they're talking about, and I've done the best that I could to defend them, short of they've asked me to join the certify as a union rep and fight, but I have a little bit more power on the outside. Because unions, what I want to let people know is that unions, they have parameters, and there are things that they can't say because they could get sued for duty of fair representation. A lot of times, a lot of representatives don't know how to have a rapport with management without getting a reputation with management. I was lucky to have a rapport, whereas that sometimes you do have to negotiate. But you don't have to have a reputation with them as to say that they have you in their pocket, because they're quick to say that. So the problem that they're experiencing on our work floor is that the person that is supposed to defend them is dating the manager who is the bully. So how can they get help? So when they get disciplined, they don't get any type of representation. It's like they have nowhere to turn. But we're doing the best we can, and we're trying to straighten things up there. And that's why I'm glad that they're able to hear us. I got word that they're playing over the PA system, and the shift that is listening tonight is the good shift. Unfortunately, the shift that needs to hear it is the shift that I'm on that just left. So I'm sure the supervisors as well as the craft employees are listening, and I'm glad you guys are listening. Coach LaLisa, we're going to have to try to get her to come down and try to work with our people. We need to really go nationwide with our company, because our company does have what you spoke of yesterday as a culture of bullying. And it's well known within our company. So we need to, not just in our office, we need to implement a system to where you can come and meet with our people and explain to us as individuals, management and craft alike, how serious this is. You know, we don't want it to be addressed when it hits the news. We want it to be addressed to avoid the news, make good news that we're making strides to stop this.
And you know what? You said so many key things. Again, I so celebrate you and your leadership and your team and their willingness down there, over there in Compton, willing to tune in and listen. Because like we said in the earlier part of the segment today, you know, yes, we want to help the victims, but we also want to help the perpetrator as well. And I love what you just said, Lisa, about taking the initiative to not wait until a tragic or more tragic situations happen and not just let this go on. That would be stagnation. That would be just, okay, we can't do anything about it, so let's just work with it. No, we can do something about it. And knowledge and information is truly, truly the key to empowerment. And self-help, this is called self-help, it's professional self-help. Self-help, self-empowerment is a key to success in home, at work, in the community. To take the initiative to say, you know what, we're going to run the workshops, we're going to get trained, and people who bully, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that we don't know where it came from. We don't know how they got that way. We don't know if it was a childhood situation or not. But I bet you if we put them on notice, bring it out, anything that's kept hidden in a secret tends to manifest and get worse.
Right.
So, you know, yes, but when you talk about it, and now it's not so scary. You see, now you shine that light on that bully and get that person to look at themselves in a way that they've never looked at themselves before. It's the same thing we've done with diversity. We've come into companies and we've done diversity, cultural diversity workshops, and the people, they never looked at themselves that way. We do workshops on communication and interpersonal relations. Again, how we relate to each other at work. Bullying would fall in that line somewhere. Is how do I relate with my coworker, my manager, this upper management, the staff below me, my coworkers? How am I relating? Because at work, you know, we spend 75% of our 75 to 100% of our time at work is done in a relationship. Very, very few people work isolated by themselves in a hole, in a desk, in a cubicle, and never talk to anyone. There are some jobs like that, but most of our jobs, we have to interact with people at work. We have another show where we talk about our personal branding. I did a webinar on that as well, but there's one of the shows. How am I coming across at work to other people that I'm around? So these are very, very, very important reasons. And let me go back to Lisa, if you have any other comments. Again, I celebrate your people. And let's get some also questions from the chat room. Okay. Now, I see that, yes, there's a comment in the chat room. Someone said that she is a manager and she is bullied by upper management. Lisa. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That might be for my crew. That's a practice. I know exactly who that is. Yeah, they're going to type their questions in.
I'm going to speak to that in a second, but I didn't know if you wanted to address that. They said that, they're being bullied from upper management. Go ahead. Lisa, did you want to address that?
The problem, what we've noticed in our workplace is that we do have a chain of command that goes to the acting supervisor, supervisors, their manager, and then the big boss within our area. And when things go wrong at the top level, it trickles down. And the thing is, they have no bargaining power, our managers. They have nobody to go to. So when they're picked on, they're the ones that go out and have the heart attacks, and because they can't do anything about it. The lower levels, the craft level, they can at least go to their unions or go through the EEO process. Just as the upper managers, it's just a little bit harder. But the whole thing is that what I say to the managers is, I know that happens to you, so I want them to try to pull the karma card. And how we do that is, understand how that made you feel as a manager, and stop it there. And if you'll notice that if you are good to your employees, and I tell them this on the floor all the time, your employees will have your back, because the strength is, if you make the people happy, they go out of their way for you. And the supervisor that feels that way, she feels that way all the time, we do our best for her. We really do. But she gets picked on. So she has to understand that you know, sometimes she'll step down and say, I don't want to manage anymore. But I have to tell her, just like I tell everybody else, just like I want the listeners to understand, you have to get in touch with relaxation techniques. The type of coaching that Coach LaLisa does, we really need to pull that into all work areas, because she can teach us how to tap our power within to protect ourselves. When you protect yourself, you have the battle half won. So to the managers that are bullied, I want them to just take in how it feels, be good to their employees, and then pull your manager aside and talk to them in private, because you do have that, what they should know is, they have something where they're kind of equal, and whatever can be said on that when they're in that capacity can't be held against them. They really do need to know that, and they need to exercise that right.
Hello.
Uh-huh.
Good morning.
Uh-oh, are we still on?
I'm here. I didn't know how this worked. Good morning.
Okay, caller, I'm sorry. Yes, caller 973, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. I am really enjoying this topic this morning, this discussion and the questions and different things that are being brought out. My name is Diana Flagg, And I wanted to ask a question and to go back on something that was stated regarding the documentation that was brought out, saying I didn't know that you needed to write or that it was legit to just document it on paper, because my bullying that's going on, because I didn't even know it fit the criteria, but now that I asked that question before and understand that that is a part of bullying, retaliation, harassment, all of that falls under that umbrella. My documentation is email, and some things probably would need to be written out because some things were verbally stated as well with the change of policies that is not even in the employee handbook, but is departmental. Is that legit?
Wow. I had spoke about the documentation. I do representation for people filing EEOs, and it's important that you keep your own private journals also. Usually the you want to be careful with what's done through email, because you don't want them to try to hold against you something that they say was private use, that you use for private use, number one. Anything that's job-related, by all means, you know, keep those emails. But then in your journal, write down what was stated. If it was something that you felt made you feel aggrieved or bothered, you need to write that down in a private journal. Those journals can also be presented if you have to go to hearings regarding harassment. One thing that you note in these journals, think about how you felt when you went home. Did you have a headache? Did your appetite change? Did you lose your appetite? Did you have trouble sleeping? Document all of that, because all of that shows the level of abuse that this bullying is causing you, and it could be real helpful when you go to take charge and bring that to the forefront in your own rescue.
Okay. And can I also ask another question in regards to showing them how they ask them, showing the person how they're actually showing them themselves? How do you, I know you as the employee can't show your manager or supervisor how they're acting, but is this something that you should bring to your HR department, maybe suggest a facilitator to come in to do a presentation on this? Because some, like you said, HR works for the manager. They may be aware that that is what's going on in the company, but they're probably blocked for that to even come. When you know the funds are there, when they do presentations and different things, they may block that to even happen in the workplace. How do you go about to get something like this to even come into the work environment?
You know, you're right about that, because human resources, they are management. Labor relations is who really actually handles, labor relations handles the whole thing. They're basically known for hiring and firing, but managers have to understand their employees also. Without, you know, implementing or pointing at anyone in particular, I would go to HR or labor relations and just write a letter of concern with, and I would use the temperament of the stressors that are going on just in the world on the outside, mm-hmm. and to make our inner work environment a more comfortable place to, and I would put it like this, to avoid these things from happening, can we, what are the chances that we can bring someone in to help us deal with issues that are outside, to keep them from coming within the workplace? You know, fight it from that angle without saying this person is doing this or we have bullying here. Use it as like a safety kind of mechanism, where you're saying, you know, to ensure we keep a safe work environment free of hostility. Is it possible that we strengthen it by bringing someone in to keep us on the right track? Because the problem is, we don't want to fix a problem when it's broken. We want to, you know,
keep it in good working order. Therefore, if they take it on, then we, you know, the employees win. If they don't, then you go with the next step. You know, there is tension, maybe tension mounting here, or employees appear to be uncomfortable, or to strengthen our productivity, this is a suggestion.
Okay.
And go at that level.
Okay.
And by the time you get there, they've got the message.
Yes. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, all right. So thank you for your question and thank you for your feedback, Lisa, to Ms. Diana. Thank you for tuning in. If you just tuned into the show, we're talking about bullying in the workplace. There is a law against it. It's becoming a phenomenon. Why? Because it's becoming more and more widespread. We also said that Lisa, who is an expert in this area, and she also is a national, she's on the national level of the EEO, and the EEOC, as some of you know, handles these opportunities, these employment, Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. I think I got that right, EEOC?
Yeah.
Equal Employment.
Employment Opportunity.
Have a right.
Right.
A commission, You have a right in your any company that puts that sign on their applications, on their websites, and all those other places that they love to put it. Companies love to throw that out there. We're EEOC. I know when I was at Continental Airlines, a very big company, when I worked there, and that's one of the companies I worked in HR. They had they put up there, we're this by choice. The government didn't force it on us, though the government does force that on many employers when they give money to the to those companies. But sometimes it's not, you know, they wanted it to be known. We chose to be an employer. In other words, we're choosing to treat you fairly. That's our choice. In other words, they're letting the employee know we're user-friendly, so to speak. Now, we said earlier that, of course, going forward, we're going to teach our the one key defense is to teach our young people how to dissect and research the culture of a company. Understand that bullying in the workplace, if it's really bad, it's probably because it's in the fabric and fiber of that organization. And as you well know, take, for instance, whatever clothing you're wearing, a dress, a suit coat, a jacket, slacks, nightgown, whatever, try to find one thread, you see. Amongst the fabric, it's kind of hard to find. So in companies, when it becomes a part of the fabric, it's sometimes hard to get rid of. And so some of us took these jobs years ago, or we took these jobs when we didn't know anything about that, yes, some of us were just trained to be a good interviewee, what to say in the interview, how to look in the interview, what to wear, how to sit, how to gesture, how to posture. But we wouldn't. Some of us were never taught how to investigate that company's culture. Most people were just taught to ask about the salary and the benefits. And that's where it stopped with most people when it came to job hunting. That's like one-third of the job hunt. Two-thirds is, what is the company culture like? It's not so much, you know, do I fit it, but do they fit me? Now, some people who have a bullying type of persona, let's face it, some of us handle bullying very, very well. And it's not that we're bullies, but we're pretty tough. You know that. There's like some kids, they move into the community, they're brand new just like the other kid. They didn't get picked on. Why? Because they have a different persona. Others not. So, you know, we have to keep that in perspective. However, I know that's not helping the person who's already working in a company, already being bullied. However, I believe that I am going to do some classes on, they may look like assertiveness, but there are ways. Because first, let's face it, you may not want to leave your job. And I say, why should you? I know every. I tell people this. I used to say this all the time. No one's going to make me leave this job until I'm ready to go, bully or not. No bully's going to make me sick. No bully's going to cause me going to the doctor. Now, if all those things are happening, document them, yes. But that, on the other hand, too, wait a minute. I'm more than a conqueror here. Hello? I can do all things, okay, through Christ that strengthens me. So let me, wait a minute. Let me back up a minute and let me tell you, Mr. Bully, Mrs. Bully, let me tell you who I am. Now, you may be a bully, but I'm going to tell you what I am. I triumphed over all things, just so that you know. And you know, you could pull them to the side and let them know that. You know, I don't know what you're trying to do here, and I don't know who you're used to doing it with and to, but let me kind of let you know who I am. I triumphed over all things. And you can say this to people in private. You can't say that in public because they may try to say that you tried to force your religion on them. The bully may try to make you out to be a bully. So, you know, there's so many nuances to this. But there's another question in the chat room that I wanted to mention. There was a question about the differences between sexual harassment and bullying. You see, right now, and Lisa, you know, you may have something else to add to this, but what I've learned from my training on sexual harassment and bullying is that right now, bullying would fall under those laws of sexual harassment, because under sexual harassment, one of the areas is the hostile work environment. And the hostile work environment is where you feel threatened when you come to work, is breaking down your health, and here's a big one for employers, is causing the lack of productivity. See, as long as the company sees you coming to work and performing, though your hair is falling out, though you're losing weight, though you may your fibroid tumor may be growing bigger and bigger, and all kinds of other health problems. Those are just a few that I know of. Maybe all this is happening, and you're still coming to work and performing. So the really upper level management, the people who are really looking at the bottom line, because understand, your first line manager and the person above them, they may not even care about the bottom line, let alone look at it. But the people who are looking at the bottom line, more than likely, when they don't see a slowdown in productivity in terms of products made or services provided and dollars coming in and costs are still being cut, they may not even notice this problem. It becomes just like a little family thing. It's in this family. It hasn't affected the whole block yet. And then you have, and then with sexual harassment, of course, that is going to involve some kind of way, maybe some kind of sexual, you know, undertone or innuendos. And Lisa, you may can speak more to that as well. But the question was, what's the difference between sexual harassment and bullying in the workplace?
That's why you are so valuable to me. I learned that from you because the cases that I've always had have always been separate. The sexual harassment cases in our level, where we are, they can't be handled within the company because we have a zero tolerance. So whenever it happens, within the company, if they don't handle it, it goes straight to labor relations and an outside. They have to have outside lawyers handle that, or on behalf of the company. I usually end up on behalf of the employee unless they want to hire a lawyer of their own. So, it makes perfect sense because I can see where to sexually harass someone is a form of bullying them, because a lot of times they're saying, we need you to do this or you're not going to get these days off. Or if you don't do this, we'll put you on hard jobs. And I know the 90220 crew, they are very familiar with that because we've had stand-up talks about those very situations. So once it becomes sexual, we've never handled it within the company. But I think now I can bring that to the forefront myself and see if we could, you know, try to work that out. But Coach Lalisa, we need you to come in and really help us on all levels. So we are really going to work on getting you there to kind of see if we can get you down, because we do have people that come in and assist for the good of the employee, you know, to make things better. So we are going to work on that. So I know my crew wants to meet you. So thank you for at least sharing that with us, because I know a couple of the people listening are going through that. Actually, it was an assault by a manager. One of the people listening tonight, this morning, was kicked by a manager that was female and was hitting on them. And they're not handling it within the company. It's being handled outside the company. And the manager's still there, you know, which brings about a hostile work environment for the other people who think, if I had done that to a manager, I'd be fired. You know, so it's a toss-up, but that's something that we really do need to come together and discuss and put into practice.
Yes, definitely. I'm just looking at some of the, Nika and CJ asked, what is the difference between, sexual harassment and bullying? And then, let's see, Pat, to be careful with emailing, right? She's reposting some of your comments and some of my comments as well. We have Lisa, but Nika asks about the private sector that have little protection or none at all, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, find out the company culture is 2/3. Great observation. Okay, thanks, Paul. Okay, so, Petra, I learned so much from working under management, so because of the way I was treated, when I became a manager, I did treat my workers with respect, and that's what we would hope that everyone would do. And so we said earlier in the Hypno Solutions 1 also made a comment, said, he who reports first wins. And so we know that one thing for sure. I think he also said, do you also believe that sometimes workers may overreact to innocent comments from employers sometimes?
No.
Good question. Hypno Solutions 1 asks the question, do we believe that sometimes workers overreact to innocent comments? Well, I'm going to address that for a second, and then I will definitely open it up to you, Lisa, and anyone else on the switchboard. Good question, though, because here's what I learned. Again, my experiences are coming from, definitely having a degree in human resources, having to have studied these things, also having my mother to work in with EEOC, but also having another very close family member who has been working in dispute resolutions for probably about 10 years now, all total, the companies that she's worked with. And so she has, and sometimes had to represent management, sometimes she's had to represent the employee. Now she deals with unions every day. That's what her job is right today. Here's the problem with things when it comes to sexual harassment. Now, remember, sexual harassment, again, it's how I feel. Again, you may have just said, oh, girl, you look nice in that dress. I'm a woman. So let's just say a man says that to me. Because a woman could say that to me. And because of my, if a woman said that to me, I personally wouldn't think anything of it. I'd just say, okay, thank you. Now, let's just say a man says that to me. However, but let's just say a woman said it and I felt uncomfortable. You see? Now, that's the problem. When it comes to sexual harassment, it's how I feel. If I feel uncomfortable, then you shouldn't say that. But here's the thing. Now, what we tell our employees at my company when we do our sexual harassment training, we tell them, you can't just, somebody says, oh, girl, you look good. Let's just say it's a guy, I'm a woman. And they say, oh, you look good. And let's just say they pat me anywhere that I may feel that is inappropriate. They could pat me on the leg, on the cheek, on the whatever. And I do CPR training. And we have this part of the training where people have to hold each other in a choke, blah, blah, blah. And so I purposely try to match people up in a certain way that no one can say that was sexual harassment. And then I worked for 3 years for a lawyer who did handle a couple of sexual harassment cases. And so I've seen it from that side as well. I've also seen people come to him with cases against their employers, and he was not able to represent them at all, even though they had tons and tons and tons of documentation, because they had not gone through their company's channels. They had not. So anyway, that's a whole other topic. We'll have to get to that later. But when it comes to sexual harassment, and what we teach our people is that you first have to say to the person, that was uncomfortable to me. You can't just, if somebody looks at you the wrong way or touches you the wrong way, you can't just write them up for sexual harassment. Because how do they know you didn't like it? You see, because some people do. So you have to, first you have to let them know. This is what we teach in our company. We teach them, and this is coming from like national sexual harassment laws and things. You first you have to let them know, I don't like that. See, the minute you smile and say thank you, the minute you say he, you've just given that person a green light to do it again. But if the minute they do that, you have to say to them, you know, I didn't feel comfortable when you said that or whatever. You told them. Now that you've told them and they do it again, now you go to your manager and you let them know that this person is sexually harassing you or you know, identify the action or the behavior. But you must first say to the person, you must give them the, you know, because again, let's just say me and Patricia Martin, we're cool, we're friends, or let's just say me and Jeff, he's a good friend of my husband's, and if me and Jeff was working in the same company, I might hug Jeff, I might, you know, do a lot of different things I might do with Jeff, but we know each other personally off site. But I can't go doing that with every, you know, male. They may say that I'm sexually harassing. So I hope I made myself clear on that. And now I see some more hands going up. So I'm going to open up this other phone line. But Lisa, did you have any, you know, comments about that?
Sure, I want to piggyback on that. You are absolutely right. Sexual harassment is not deemed sexual harassment until you first make it clear that it is an unwanted sexual advance or advance that can be taken in a sexual nature. Now, when it comes down to being bullied, you may be hit on by someone and you are fearful that making that comment or coming forward could cost you your job, or other things that are other types of reprisal or retaliation. This is what I would personally tell you to do. Go see a doctor. Keep a journal. But when you go see a doctor, it becomes documented that this is happening to you, and sometimes you can get outside help that will protect you from the outside going in, and you can remedy your problem that way.
You know, and the other part, too, is that so for a person that might feel, let's just say you're used to being a little harsh to people, maybe that's in your every normal, everyday life. Here's the thing. Again, work, and Lisa stated this so well yesterday, you are not at work to make friends or to be unproductive. So sometimes at work, now I know there's a class that I could also do on professionalism. What does it mean to be professional? Because I think, again, a lot of people weren't taught, they weren't trained. They weren't taught, then they weren't trained, so they don't know how to do it. Well, it shouldn't, you know, I shouldn't have to, so because can somebody misconstrue a little horsing around? I was in the Navy, and we did a lot of horsing around. I mean, let me tell you, the United States Navy, boy, oh boy, oh boy, they better hope bullying in the workplace never hits them. But they do some stuff. I don't even want to talk about it. But anyway, so you have to, so here it is. Okay, that's one thing, because that's the nature of that beast. That's what they do, and, you know, you sign up and you kind of sign your life away to let those things happen to you. But in the private sector, per se, in a job where you're in the private sector or government sector, doesn't matter. But here you are. Every individual has to be responsible for themselves. So if you know that you are a person who says things that rub people the wrong way, you have to take ownership and stop doing that. That's just the way it is. You can't say, well, this is just how I am, and I'm just going to be like this, and people just have to accept me. Well, that's where Coach Alicia is going to come in and help you with some things that, no, you, it's okay to do that up until you're probably about 30 possibly. But beyond 30, we're full stream ahead adult professionalism, and we don't just accept our ways just because we've always been like that. So if is a person taking it the wrong way, well, if they're not the only ones taking it the wrong way, my mother said 100 Frenchmen can't be wrong. So if everybody's taking you the wrong way, you probably are the wrong way. And you may want to change that so that you can stay the way you are when you leave the job. If your friends and your family accept you, fine. But remember, at work, we're trying to be highly productive. We want the right. That's what we want to be there. Because remember, I tell people this. I tell staff where I work all the time. I do 90% of the training there. I tell them all the time. The more productive we are, the more profits we get, the more the company at least has a choice to say, let me share it with you. But when there's low productivity, there's very low profits, you can scream to the top of your lungs that you want a raise, and you will never get it. Because companies do not give out raises based on you screaming that you should get a raise because your bills are higher or your car note has grown. No. Companies give out raises when and only when they see that they have a budget to do it. You could be the best employee in the world and work the hardest, but that doesn't mean the company's just going to give you a raise. No. So I'm just saying that. So any threat to productivity and any threat to profits is a threat to everyone in that company. Everybody. The file clerk, the top-level manager, because when the company goes away, everybody will have to go job hunting. Now, some people's job huntings won't last long because if you have a lot of networks out there, well, you may not even be unemployed for a day. If you got a lot of people, you could pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I'm looking for work, and boom, you're working the next day. Well, you don't have nothing to worry about. But for those individuals who haven't networked, who don't have anyone to call up and don't even hasn't even interviewed for a job in 5 or 10 years or however long they've had that job. Now, it may take you longer to get work, as we've seen right now in this economy. In this same economy that has been so horrible that some people have not had a job in 2 or 3 years and they've been interviewing every other week. But then I know other people who left a job. I mean, wasn't laid off, wasn't fired. They left and got a job like the next day. Why? Because of the networking and skills and all that stuff. So anyway, we have some phone lines and we're going to take these callers. Let's go to this call. Area code 609-908. Don't go away. I'm going to take your call. 609-248. You're on the air. Welcome to the Coach Alicia Show. Good morning, 609. Are you still with us? Okay, yes. Then maybe they have their there you are. I figured you had your phone okay. On mute. Tell us your name and where you're calling from.
Okay, my name is Lana, and I am calling from New Jersey. And I just wanted to say that this program so far is really helping me so much because I am in a place where I'm actually going through this for years. I have been at my job 10 years, and for the last 3 years, I have been going through this type of bullying from my management. She was hired 3 years ago to let people go. She was actually put in that place. She was there for she's been there since 2006, and she has bullied enough employees to have 6 people leave the company. I have a file on the company. I make documents. I make notes of everything that has taken place. But now I'm in a place where I've actually went to the doctor because this type of bullying has affected me physically. And so I'm in a place right now where I'm going to want to receive information on where do I go right now. I did go to EEOC, and they told me, well, do not come back until I'm at least fired. Well, by then, I just want to make sure that I'm not in a place where it's going to jeopardize what I'm trying to do at this time. I have gone to HR. I have had meetings, and they're all, like you said, HR works for the management, and that's exactly what I felt. So everything you're saying, I'm just taking it in because it is helping me where I am right now.
Wow.
Wonderful.
Coach Lalisa,
yeah.
if I can address what she, her comment, she said she went to the EEOC and they said come back when she's at least fired.
Yeah.
The EEOC, unfortunately, they are management. And to go to the EEOC is like going to someone's mother about what their child did. So it's as strong as your representative. You have to get representation behind you to prove a point. No, you don't have to be fired. EEOC deals with a disparate treatment, meaning that you're being treated one way as opposed to others that
uh-huh.
are of a different gender or a different race or under 40, then they're being treated. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
you need a good rep behind you, and they could tell you that if you go to them by themselves. So anyone with experience or knowledge of your collective bargaining agreement or your contract or your bylaws can represent you, and all they have to do is have a strong knowledge of what you're going through, all your facts together. Going to the doctor is the strongest thing you have behind you. Keep journals. Write down your symptoms, every headache, every time you're nauseated, every time your sleep patterns change. Put dates, times, notes. When someone says something, jot it down on a note. Keep it in chronological order because you're going to need that. And when you do, there's an 800 number where you don't have to wait. You call and you let them know that you have a complaint or feel discriminated against. Make sure that you can prove that someone else on your job of a different gender, race, or based on age, or ethnic origin, and it's another purview, that someone else was treated different than you're being treated, and you have a case.
Okay, because it is noted that she has fired two other people that are, you know, completely going through somewhat the same situation that I have been going through. And,
do you work in the private sector?
I work in, no. Not
without
private,
saying
no.
Who it is.
Right. No, it's not. And what the thing about it is that they have really been trying to have me quit. They want me to leave. And I said to them that I'm a good employee. And I enjoy what I do, and I'm going to stay here, you know, as long as I can, you know. So they haven't. I think they really know that something is going on as far as me on the side, because they will not fire me. They will not. Now they're backing off. They don't want to come at me in the wrong way or anything, at all. So I have emails. I have documentation, and you know, I have a file, you know, noting everything that has happened. So
you need to understand that right now with the present economy, the way it is, especially government, state, city, people who work in those types of jobs, they're trying to downsize by any means necessary. Attrition is the main thing that they're going on, where someone retires, dies, gets fired or quits, so they don't have to bring anybody else in. And that's why they're doing things to make you quit. In a lot of those jobs, I've noticed in some cases that I've dealt with, that they will come in, they will talk about your mother, they will do anything to make you go off, and when you go off, they will fire you. And they just need to downsize. That's all it is to it. So you got to get a grip on self, and it was good how you said you like what you're doing. You're not going to let them take that from you. And I would make that clear to them every time they did something to me that I felt was disparate or felt was harassment. I would look down, take two steps back, look them dead in their eye with a comforting smile and say, but you know what? I love this job. And no one will take it from me. You have a good day. And you go on. And that right there
it tears them down, because a bully's main goal is to bring you down. When you don't bring them down, they get tired. They get worn out, but you got to hold that. You got to hold. See, if you pull in positive, there's no room for the negative. They're throwing all the negative vibes at you. You put the positive, it defeats them every time. I know it's hard, but it's rewarding, because there are internal and spiritual gifts that come when you defend your spirit and you look them in the face with confidence and you smile. They hate that. And you say, but I love my job, and I'm going to keep it. And you know what? You have a good day.
Okay.
Yeah, this problem is definitely widespread, as we said. That's why it's called a phenomenon. And it's not just here in the United States. It is in other countries as well. There is a lot of research out there on the topic. You are not alone. This is before it was a secret, but now very savvy companies are doing training companies train on the topic of violence in the workplace. So you may not see the term bullying. It may be called violence in the workplace. But bullying does fall probably more closely aligned with harassment, and that is because of creating that hostile work environment where you don't feel like going to work, you don't want to go to work. You may have medical issues that are related to it, and it's just amazing how, all this stuff that, has been said here on the show. We are really hoping that this is informative information to help people. We're not trying to, destroy companies, but we're trying to build them up. We're trying to show them how they can be more productive in terms of their, your employees. I tell my students, I teach a business class, and I tell my students, you are the company's best asset. The employee, you are their best asset. You are their most valuable asset, though they may not value you. So you have to, first of all, definitely always carry yourself as a very valued person, knowing that. That's number one. Companies do hire people, even though they know. Sometimes companies hired a person who was very aggressive to clean the place up. And you just fell in the fray. They didn't have to clean up anything that you were doing. You're doing your job. Like Miss Diana said, she works hard. She does her job. She's a good worker. The info team, Info Rhythm out there in Cali, the California team, they said, we work hard. We do our job. We celebrate you. We know you do. But you may have just fallen in the fray of this person that that's how typically you can tell when management is approving of this if management does not get rid of the bully. And probably, and sometimes, you're not the first person or the only person that has complained. However, if you are, like Lisa mentioned, if you're in a company where there is zero tolerance for workplace bullying, sexual harassment, discrimination, racism, some companies have certain things are zero tolerance. And they state it up front, and they're not going to go, along with it. Other companies are not there yet. But I believe by the end of 2011, they will be there. I believe by the end of 2011, workplace, there will be a large drop in workplace bullying because of the awareness. It's just like with domestic violence. And that's why we have Domestic Violence Month, and that's why we have all the workshops and all the training to inform people so that they can be aware to protect themselves. But we do have a couple other hands up. So I thank you so much for your comments. 609 area code, thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. Looks like we're going to have a part three, Lisa, to this topic. Possibly we may have to talk about this for a few more weeks. But let's see if I can get one of these other callers. I know she had her hand up for a while. 908. And 301, don't hang up. We're going to get to you. We still have 10 minutes left to the show. Yes, 908, tell us your name, where you're calling from, your comment or question.
Good morning, Minister Lalisa. This is Minister Pat. I'm calling from Hillside, New Jersey. Good morning. I just want to comment on two things, and I'm going to do it real quick so that the other caller can get in before we get off the air. But this is not coming from me. It's coming from the news that I've heard last week and that I heard on yesterday. And one of them, when you were talking about the documentation, and I think you mentioned it because I typed it in on the comment page, is that we have to be very careful about what we're typing in on the job. I posted on my Facebook page, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, how a man got fired for just posting a comment, a light comment on the job. And they found out about it the same day, and they fired him the same day. So we have to be very careful, like you said again, about our documentation and how we're doing it and where we're keeping it. The second thing a guy was talking about, about the way people say things, do we take things lightly, what people say? And just on news yesterday in New York, the mayor made a comment about some of the schools and about condoms being placed in the school, but it wasn't what she said, is how she said it. So it took a toll on the people there, especially to the minority, you know, the minority of the people. So they took very offense to the way she said it. So, yes, we have to be careful about how we say things or what we say to people in the workplace, because it could come up to a lawsuit. Al Sharpton talked about it, but he said he's not going to say too much. He said because it was Martin Luther King Day. But he said, believe me, it will be brought up again. So, you know, as managers, as leaders, being the head of a workplace or whatever, we do need to be careful about the comments that we make and how we say them, because we can get offensive to some of the things that have been said.
Awesome. That is so true, and thank you for those news flashes. Thank you. That is so true. We, as leaders, as managers, we have to, and for those individuals who are being victimized, it's going to stop, and so we're very happy about that. So we're going to take our next comment, but thank you, Minister Patricia, for that comment. Now let's open up 301 area code. Tell us your name and your comment or question.
Good morning, Lalisa and Lisa. This is Mr. Ferry again from Maryland.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's profound what the topic is and how it's being brought across and those who are experiencing in it. I want to add to about three things. One, piggybacking on what the sister just got finished saying and the 609 call, it's important how we documentate, and it has been iterated that we should keep a journal at home. The emails on jobs are archived. They pull them up every so often in the IT department. Who's saying, especially when they're in the bed to get together, union, rep, management, and middle management, as well as the CEO and so forth there. They will pull those emails up and review them. And there's someone in IT who specifically does that. And so that's imperative that we watch what we put on there and who is sending us email from outside into our place of employment email. That's number two. Number three is even doing phone calls, because Fortune 500 companies are very savvy. There's a way that your phone calls, text messages, and calls are traced. And they have a log of everything that you're saying that's going on at the job. Well, that's okay. When you're on your private cell phone and you're talking off the job hours, that's your business. But when you're on that job, the savviness in the technology can just trace you at lunchtime and who you're having lunch with, so forth and so on. I know of a true experience. Because what they do in the savviness of technology is they'll go back. If they really want you out of that position, they'll go back in your phone log and see who you've been talking about. Also investigate what your family life is, your credit, because we do give people permission when we sign job applications to do a background check on us. And depending on who has the networking in the company, will do that. And it's so easily done because it's been a law passed from federal guidelines that we have no privacy at. The fourth thing I want to say also, it is true that when we do have documentation outside, like going to a doctor, we need to be able to have that documentation, let it go, and also be able to talk to a psychologist, you know, not only your medical doctor, but seek counsel, Christian counseling, or whoever you choose that's in the professional area to talk to, because that documentation is also vital. It is also vital because it lets you vet from within and examine the person you are to come up to be the highest level of standards that you know that you are and that you can reach above all of the pettiness and the bullying in it. And the last thing I want to say, there are some essential oils to protect yourself, some health issues, some health remedies that you could help yourself, like you could drink tea, valerian or hops when you're ready to go home, or you could drink chamomile. You can have mixtures of teas. There's, like Lisa said yesterday, there are muscle relaxations that you could do in your chair, like tighten up your neck muscles and turn your head left to right. You could also clench your fists and biceps, make your biceps tight for 20 minutes and release, and then see what's residue in your body, where you still feel that tightness, and then work on that, and then deep breathing. You could also take those 15-minute walks because we are entitled to walks. We're entitled at 15-minute breaks because this is codable. We are more than conquerors. God has not given us a spirit of fear, for he really made us to be rulers of the land. And so there is no human next to us that can do anything unless we allow them to do that to us. And so it's kind of beneficial for us to assimilate everything together, music, the herbal remedies, and one of the good essential oil remedies is sandalwood, you know, clarity, sage, which is really good, that works with our brain waves, that brings us into calmness and clarity, focus. What is really what really did happen in the moment? So it's a lot of things that we know that's deep down in us, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and love. And we must love ourselves, because that's why we get up and we prepare to go to work. We get to work, and then we get the opposition that we can go through, you know, providing that we touch in agreement with our inner spirit, for the outer spirit, and those who are like-minded. And there's a lot of esoteric and other things that we can use while we're sitting in the midst of it. And I highly recommend the herbal teas, some essential oils, bergamot, clarity, lemon balm, and put it together. Bring our little pack, you know, bag to work, and prepare to protect our health, because we have a job greater outside of those 8 hours. So I thank you for the opportunity to say that.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I was just thinking, and thank you so much, Nessa Ferry, for your comments. That's so awesome. And we thank everybody for their comments. And definitely Paul also said that in Japan, they are famous for bullying and sexual harassment in the workplace, and they are also taking action against it. So, again, you know, it's going to catch on like wildfire. It's going to spread. There are going to be more and more workshops, and, you know, sooner or later, you know, you'll see the movie out there, you know, how the bully in the workplace gets taken down by, you know, a group of people. But it's very, 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 very serious problem, and it's, I think it's so refreshing and rewarding to know that we do have help. You're not alone. You have support. There are the employee assistance programs. Many companies have an EAP department. If not every company, if they don't have one internally, they most of them contract and consult with an EAP rep, because there are EAP private companies who will work with and provide services to companies. So most companies do have that arm. You may not know it. It's just like your child can go to high school and not know what programs are out there that could enhance their education. Well, there are things that can be for the employer that may be even a part of your insurance that you're paying that you don't even realize that you do have. And so if there's an EAP rep, this is like having your own personal psychologist, if you will, or counselor. This person is confidential. They are neutral. They work for the company, just as all of us work for the company, whether you're union or not, management, everybody works at the company. You would think sometimes that we're against each other, though we're all on the same team. Imagine the Jets having gone out on the field and having the quarterback is against the front the linebacker, or the linebacker is against the tight end, and all these different things. You would never ever see that. That's the only thing I can really say. That I don't watch a whole lot of sports, but one thing I do know about football and basketball and things like that. They may fight off the field, they may do whatever, but when they come, when it's game time, listen, they put all that other stuff aside, and it's about getting that ball down that field and across that line.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the only people they're trying to take out is the opposition, the competition, the competitor, and everybody on their team, they're for them. You can't tell if they're black, white, blue, green. When that brother sticks his hand down to pick somebody up, they pick it. You see what I'm saying? They're helping everybody on the team, because they, one thing I can say about sports that a lot of companies don't get, that we don't win if we don't win, okay? So it ain't none of this private winning stuff. I won. You know, I'm looking good and y'all looking bad. I tell this to students every semester. There is no such, that's a fallacy. To think that you one person in that department, you won and you're looking good and everybody else is looking bad. No, because from the outside to the suppliers, to the customers, to everybody else, if one's looking bad, everybody's looking bad. The whole company looks bad. So we it seems like we would work harder at being more like. Now, that's another area where the military is very successful in. I think that's one of the key benefits, or one of the key characteristics of the military, is that when it comes to the battle, they are all fighting on the same team. But sometimes in companies it feels like we're fighting against each other. For what? To get ahead? How can I get ahead if the whole company is not getting ahead? I just don't understand that. So, anyway, self-guided, just tuned in. Okay, being laid off. Okay, good morning, self-guided. What do you have to say about bullying in the workplace? Yes, okay, good. Good morning, good morning. Okay, your EAP counselors tell your business. Oh, my goodness, you're kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Have
what
that
do you mean they tell
too.
You? Hold on. Who is that said that? Lisa?
Yeah, that where we work, that is a major problem. They
tell your business.
Yeah, they're sworn to keep that confidential, mm-hmm. but it's the whole you tell two friends and they'll tell two friends, and then your business is all over the work floor. I believe that came from our crew, because we experienced a worker who was HIV positive, and she submitted her information, and she went to EAP, and it went all over the floor, and she had to leave. So
you know,
and that's illegal also.
Yeah, that you can't, you know. And here, now, so again, I mean, people on my job, they tease me because I'm always saying, okay, you need to come to training so you're going to learn how to act. But here's the thing. Not all things can be put under the banner of training, but many things can. So, again, that person who doesn't know to keep their mouth shut, they don't know how to keep confidential, it's supposed to be confidential, they need to be told that. They need to be told that in a training session. Possibly, again, some companies appoint people to, let me say this loud and clear, some companies promote and give people the wrong position. Same thing happened in the church, happened in the family. So it's nothing new. There are some people you knew they were a blabbermouth, and you should have never, I wouldn't care how sweet they are, how lovable they are, and how they swear up and down they like everybody on the job. So you gave them the EAP job.
Exactly.
Bad decision, leader. This is to the leader right now. This is in my Dr. Laura voice. Bad decision, leader. You should have never put a blabbermouth. I wouldn't know how sweet he or she is. You put people in that kind of position that don't tell anything. You know, the person that every time you go to them and say, ooh, how much so-and-so make? Or, ooh, what happened to her at home? Why she got that bruise under her arm? See, the person that says, I don't know, and you know they know, that's the person you put in that job.
Right.
Not somebody that's always telling you what Susie did.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay? So that's a big problem. And what I've seen from the training standpoint, from an HR standpoint, from a management standpoint, what I've seen over the past 25 years that I've been looking at this situation, how the wrong people are put in the wrong jobs, and then when you get a bad outcome, everybody wonders what happened, why. And companies, it would take a huge paradigm shift for the average company to put the right person in the right job for the right reasons. And the reason for that is it takes work. It's the same thing with the parent that doesn't want to do the right things to raise their child to be socially and academically and socially and emotionally stable, because it takes a lot of work. And people don't want to put in that much effort. They would rather just make, see, hiring isn't as easy as it looks, and it's not as glamorous as it looks either. I was a hiring rep for 3 years, and trust me, I got tired of it. It's not as fun as, it's a lot of work. It's always wondering, did I get the right person? That's what you always wonder. Every time you say, congratulations, you got the job, you're saying to yourself, did I get the right person? Because here's the problem. They come to the interview with a resume that they paid someone $50, $100, or $200 to create. So you don't know if the resume is them or not. Then they went out and maybe possibly even hired a coach to tell them what to wear and what to say on the job interview. And now they do. I know they do because I know some that did it. You sit on the job. You tell them all the right things. You answer all the bus questions. You got somebody on the inside of the company that tells you some stuff. You get hired, and I have seen people, after I have hired them, the next day I wanted to fire them. They got on the job, and within 6 months, this was my main pet peeve when I hire people, 6 months after we hired you, you complaining about everything. You ain't even been there 6 months. You barely made your probation period. You're complaining about the salary, we get paid, what the benefits are, what you can do with your kids. I'm like, whoa. Excuse me. Did you not just sit in my office and literally beg me to give you this job, yes or no? I'm just asking. That's what I would say to them. I would run into them in the hallways. Did you or did you not? When they come complain to me, were you the same one? Okay, see you later. Or this is another pet peeve. You come in the office, you come to my office to interview for the job. You're sharp, your hair is done, you're immaculate. I see you a month later looking like you about to go to the park and play with the kids. I'm like, hold up, excuse me. Did you not know this was a professional? So anyway, I mean, that's just my little pet peeve. So anyway, I said all that to say hiring isn't the easiest job either, okay? People will perpetrate. And then you got this other employee that in the interview, and they act like they're going to go along with everything, and, oh, I'm going to be the best worker and whatever management. Here's what I tell people about professionalism. Professionalism means you follow the company's, not your own. You don't come with your own policies and procedures.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make them up go because you like stuff a certain way. That's what entrepreneurs do. I'm an entrepreneur. Some of you are. My sister owns her own dry cleaners. She can change custom care's policies every day if she wants to because she owns that business. But when you're not the owner, when you work there, I don't care if you're the CEO all the way down, because not all CEOs own the company. They were hired by the board of directors in many cases. Whether you could be the director, you could be the head of the institution, what have you. Everybody is there to follow the company's policies and procedures. Now, here's the thing. I tell my students this in business class. I tell them, until you are invited to the table to sit down and help craft and design the policies and procedures, I go, shh, don't say a whole lot, okay, until you're asked. Because companies pay people to sit down and come up with this stuff. That's a paid person. And that's who they want to hear from. Now, they may have a suggestion box. Fine. Put your suggestion in there. If they take it, that's up to them. They don't have to. They don't have any obligation that they have to take your suggestion. The best thing I try to tell people, if you want to be a part of the policy and procedure making, you have to know that going in. Because sometimes we can go in companies and we can do one thing that will taint us, and they will never invite us to that board, ever. But anyway, that's probably a whole other topic that, you know, I can go off sometimes on the deep. But I thank everybody who has stayed with us this whole almost a two-hour show. We started off with an hour. The show has grown. And, okay, self-guided, you're going to follow the show now, huh? Well, I hope you have wonderful, wonderful comments to add, as some that you've already mentioned. You did say that your resume speaks for itself and that you have never had a coach to tell you what to say or what to wear. Okay, good. I'm glad you didn't self-guide it, but some people have. And because, you know what, if you go to any of those, go to some of those job fairs, you know those big job fairs they have around the country, I guarantee you that there will be someone there who has a business that tells people what to wear, what to say, what to do on a job interview. Now, maybe you haven't hired a coach per se, but the coach could have been your parents told us what to say, what to wear, what to do. And some people in high school, when they were seniors, they were given a class on, you know, job interviewing and things of that nature, and possibly even college. So, wonderful, wonderful. So any other, let's go back here to the switchboard, see what we have going on there. So we still have you, Ms. Safir, we still have you on the phone. Lisa, any other comments you want to make?
Yes, an earlier caller had made a comment about someone who was fired based on, I think, a personal comment or something that they posted. I'm sure by now they should know that wrongful termination is something that can be fought, because I'm sure they are not the only person who has done that in the company, and that can be proven once you open a case. Also, if they have not been forewarned under just cause and due process, what they did was not legal. It was something else. The thing about the journals, you had mentioned something, and why it's so important is that it keeps that timeline, and when you go forward, all of the things that are addressed, that's the greatest thing, and it also helps you to vent when you keep those journals, keep those notes. When you don't have a journal with you, write it down on a napkin, throw it in your pocket, and then log it, times and dates.
Mm-hmm.
And with complaints, especially like EEO complaints, you have to always make sure that the the discriminatory practice is something that is happening to you as opposed to another that's of a different gender or anything under the purviews. That's your best way of not getting it thrown out. So make it throw it out. Your timeline can start. As of today, this situation has not been addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Keeping that journal, the timeline also can show the frequency. When you document the frequency of something happening, can also alert the lawyers or the people that are going to represent you to that'll, you know, you're giving the lawyer, you know, more defense because it's the preponderance of the evidence, unlike a criminal suit where it's beyond a reasonable doubt that this person did murder so-and-so or did to rob this person, that person. These kind of laws, it's the preponderance of the evidence unless it becomes a criminal act. And so you have to have more staggering stuff. So the more the lawyer can prove that, well, this person was being harassed every 20 minutes. If every 20 minutes your supervisor is, you know, doing this, this, and that. And then again, then there's those times where you can, you know, just let the person know, you know, you're being a little too whatever. You know, I had to let somebody know that one time. It was like, okay, hold up. You know, you're requiring a bit much here, and I'm not able to produce that like that. Because some people, you know, they unfortunately, I forget the psychological term for this. Some of you might know, but some people expect you to work like them, or they expect you to be like them or to think like them, and they don't understand when you don't. So that maybe that's how they are, and so maybe they like that. Some people actually like people coming down on them. Now, here's something I heard once from a person who was a very high up, she was a big trainer for the public school systems at the district or regional level, and she traveled all over that region training teachers and people in the school system. And here's something she said that I use at times in training when I'm doing cultural diversity or communication and leadership training, and I just adapted it to fit the any type of workplace. But here's what she said about the school system. She says, okay, so let's go with the top person. Let's just say I'm just going to use a superintendent of schools. And then under the superintendent of schools, then you would have the principals, right? Then under the principals, you have the teachers. Under the teachers, you have the students. So let's look at four. That's four people in the food chain line. Let's look at how people are getting eaten. She said if the superintendent eats the principals, the mm-hmm. principals are going to eat the teacher.
Mm-hmm.
If the principals are eating the teachers are going to eat the students. And who do you think the students are going to eat?
Each other.
Say hello. So what that shows is how it's coming from the top. In other words, now, because here's the thing, what I was trying to tell these employees. For instance, if the student tries to just combat the teacher and stop the teacher from eating them, chewing them out, whatever you want to call it, it's going to be harder if the teacher is still being ate on by their leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like the bully is also being bullied by somebody probably.
Mm-hmm.
The strong thing about the students is that that's why we need good parent, we need parent participation, because the students, at least they have backup. The teachers don't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Well, so you have to go out. Sometimes that's why you have to go outside of your immediate network. That's why you can't work in silo or to yourself. You got to have networks. Let's say if you were a teacher and you taught at a particular school, make sure you have networks in other schools. I tell this to people in a company. If you're in a company, make sure, even if your manager is mean and harsh to you, you can't do anything about it, make sure that you befriend yourself with other managers, because at least you have another outlet. Not that you're going to go tell them your business, because you don't know if that manager and that manager play golf together.
Right.
No, you're not going to tell business, but at least you have someone to build up your self-esteem. you have someone that can still empower you and make you feel important, intelligent, and encourage you. You know, the Word of God says each should encourage the other. So we all need encouragement, let's face it. So if you're working with
Lisa,
somebody that... Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think
yeah, go ahead.
You're absolutely right, because that was my situation in the school system. I had the principal eat me up, and association to her was giving the report back to the point that she took me to the superintendent of school. But little did she know, which I was saying, I am applying myself to all of the resources that was affiliated with my teaching position, with the workshops and the training. And I had not really realized how attached I had become to the union. So when she called me to go into the superintendent, anticipating on my termination, that the union rep came in and said, oh, yes, I remember her. She's one of my mentees. And if you could see both of their faces, which they just knew they had a good, solid case. I was in the room by myself because this particular union rep had been out sick for a couple of weeks and was going into a month or so, had said, well, Enziferi, I'm going to be there. I'll be there. I'm going to make a point to be there for you. And when she came in late and saw her and the statement she made, they were floored. But that goes, that means you must network and you must be in a position with yourself to push forward to receive all that you need to qualify yourself with yourself to do the best job that you can in any position.
And it's sad that people would, want to bully in the workplace, and people want to, they want to pounce on, you know, others and all of that. But you know what? The buck stops here, and so we have given out so much information about the problem, the scenarios, and we know you may still have other questions. You can definitely you can contact me. I will definitely get your information to Lisa, and, you know, we can do other workshops. I can do some webinars. We can put them together and do some webinars so that you can get the tools that you need to stand against it. Again, I don't see this any much more different than a married couple and people who live in domestic violence. There's a lot of things that are quite similar because, again, just like in a marriage, people don't want to leave because of various things. Same thing on the job. You should not have, again, like I said yesterday, I would not leave my good job for you. I'm sorry. Because that's usually what it's about. They want you to leave the job. And you know what? And I know this is probably going to sound probably a little weird, but sometimes it's the truth. Do you know there are people, because you may think, well, why would they want my job? They got a higher position than me. They want it for someone else. And that's not every case. It's not everybody. But it can happen. Sometimes people want the job for their cousin, their niece, their next-door neighbor, their friend, whatever. Their boyfriend, their girlfriend, they might be married and still want it for their boyfriend, their girlfriend. So, you know, just because somebody's higher up over you and you may think, well, they wouldn't want my job, you never know. But here's the thing. You know what? But I'm like this. You can't have my job because guess what? God gave it to me, number one. Promotions come from God. So you didn't give me the job. Yes, you hired me, but you didn't give me the job. So I don't leave this job until God is ready for me to leave. That's number one. This is just personal Lisa coaching now. This is what I tell people. So, but you have to know that so you don't go on the job acting scared and threatful. You go to work, he says, do your work as unto the Lord. So you go to work, you do your job as unto him. He will make you stand. If there's any kind of a suit to be brought, he will make you victorious. He will fight your battle. Yes, he will. I know he will because he's fighting minds every day. And what he does for me, he'll do for another. So you go to work. It's your job. God gave it to you. And here's what bullies don't like. They don't like for people to fight back. And here's what fighting back, not with carnal weapons, not by punching them, not by tripping them, not by kicking them. You fight back by ignoring their advances, by ignoring their threats, and you just don't feel threatened by it. When you finish a job, when you go to work, you work your 8-hour day or 7 hours or 6 hours, however many hours you work. You do your work, you shut off your computer, you go home. You don't take home a pile of work with you because you're afraid they're going to write you up. That's a threat. They're threatening to write you up. I've had people try to write me up and say, oh, I didn't complete this project or that project. You know what? Trust me. You know, I'm like, okay, yeah, all right, good. Right, you wrote me up because I didn't do the work? Fine. Now, when we get ready to go to the lawyer, and now most of these companies, most people know that companies are overworking people for the past, 15 years now? Ever since downsizing started? That's what downsizing is. It's doing more work with less people. That's one of the theories behind downsizing, right-sizing, and all that other stuff. So they already know that people are overworked. So trust me, a lot of it's just threats because they want you to leave so they can give the job to their friend, their cousin, or whomever, especially in government jobs because some of the government jobs are very well-paid jobs and with well-paid benefits, and they want those jobs for their family. It's an age-old tactic. That's not a new tactic for employers to use. They may give a different twist to it. You know, like young people give a different name to everything. They used to call it, I forget whatever word, but now they call it naggy. They say somebody's naggy. It's like you're aggravating them. So they just give it a
new
twist.
Here on the West Coast, we call them haters.
Okay, haters. We call them that. Hey, East Coast and West Coast, we really are alike. We call them haters, too. Yo, hater. Mm-hmm. Hating on me because I got the job and I'm all that, and you just a bag of chips. But, you know, there's people, they want the job. Sometimes they don't want the job. Sometimes they just don't want you to have it. Sometimes they don't even want it. Sometimes they just don't want, you know, some people are just unhappy. They're miserable at home or wherever, or they're just miserable. Or some people are not miserable, but they get off on making others miserable. You ever met people like that?
Right.
They're not miserable. They really aren't. They're happy. But that's how they got happy, is because they make other people miserable. That's like the joy of their day.
Let me see how long it's going to last.
But they better be careful, because now that so many, because bullying is becoming more and more to the forefront. Oh, they better be careful of how they're treating others. So we know we only have 1 minute left. Oh, we thank each and every person that has tuned in and stay tuned in. Thank you, Insafiri, and I love how you pronounce your name now. I think I'll be saying it right from now on.
Thank you.
I guess she said, this lady done messed up my name long enough.
No, it's been fine. We haven't reached
that. Now, Insafiri, tell the truth. Didn't I get it sooner than a lot of people?
Yes, you did. You did. Matter of fact, the second time I said it to you, you did get it. And then we hadn't talked for a while, and then you said, okay, I'm going to get it. I said, it's fine. No problem.
Really
enjoying the talk. Very good topic. I've called several friends out Central States to join in. And
wonderful.
We're enjoying this conversation, trying to get a couple
now,
of young
people. Who is that speaking now?
This is Insafiri speaking.
Okay.
I have called several people to join us on this topic. I'm trying to get the younger generation to become informed on this topic that you're talking about, because this will take them over the edge of where they are to go into middle management to upper management.
Yes.
The late 20s and 30s generation, they need this kind of information. So I'm requesting that we do this show again, too.
Well, it looks like Thursday will be part 3. So how do you feel about that, Lisa?
I will be here.
We're going to come. We're going to put some. I'm going to put some. Get some questions out there on Facebook. But now it is time to run. We actually extended the show again today for 2 hours. Apparently, this is an important topic. This is the second time we've had to extend for 2 hours, and we still have people on. We still have hands up. Now we're no longer streaming, actually, so people in the chat room can no longer hear us. So I didn't get a chance to say a proper goodbye to our info and other team members there. But please, Lisa, say goodbye to them. And tomorrow we have Mr. Versi Walker. He's our Wednesday week motivator. And also we have on Thursday, we're going to come back and we're going to finish discussing this topic, and we're going to have people bring their questions right here to the Coach LaLisa Show. And Lisa, thank you, Lisa, for being here with us again today and your awesome, awesome expert insight. We so need you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's truly a pleasure.
You are a pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Paul Karazi from Tokyo, Japan. I know it's about 10 o'clock at night over there now, so he's probably getting ready for bed. And thank you for staying tuned. Also, thank you, Ms. Patricia Martin, for all your wonderful comments and questions and information and your help in the chat room. You're awesome, amazing.
Sure.
Thank you, Ms. Yeah, thank you, Pat. Thank you, Insafiri, for your awesome insight and comments, and also for all of you for promoting the show. So we'll be back Thursday. That's all we have time for. Thank you, Kiva. Thank you, Motivation, Miss Adele J. Foster, and all those. Thank God Motivation. We said that Hypno. Okay. And thank you to the wonderful sales expert who's just leaving. And we're going to bring him back on to do another segment on sales and how to get customers and how to win those sales. And I'm going to come back next week and talk about that. Also, just to remind you, there are a couple of other Blog Talk Radio shows that we definitely support. Walk in Hope is a show that you can hear on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Awesome, awesome, awesome show right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's under blogtalkradio.com/HopefulWalkenia. And then also blogtalkradio.com/Kiva, K-E-V-A, Renee, R-E-N-E-E. She also has a show, Women of Destiny and Men of Valor. So we also support them, and Coach K also has a show here, and Coach J.
Yeah,
he's in Germany. And then I know some of you have shows coming up. So thank you again. That's all we have for. Have a great and wonderful day.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show can be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up, because in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.